Where do you see your career in 10 years? What are you doing now to help you get there? The sooner you start enhancing your skills, the sooner you'll be ready. That's why AARP has reskilling courses in a variety of categories like marketing and management to help your income live as long as you do.
That's right. AARP has a bevy of free skill building courses for you to choose from because the steps that you choose to take today will help you to love what you do in the future. And that's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills. In recent weeks, we've really focused on some ways that listeners can boost their income. So whether that's through starting your own side business and growing your network like Hala talked about, or when we talked with local realtor Alan about diving into investing in real estate, well, what better way to test the waters? While you are away, your home could also earn extra income.
That's right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling, because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. It's a lot easier than you think, and you don't need to Airbnb your entire house. You could just host your extra spare room. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're talking Black Friday flaws, 401k fails, and you're buying the wrong EV.
That's right. Happy Friday to everyone. And real quickly, happy Thanksgiving to everyone, which we were just talking about this. We smoked our first turkey ever this week. So stinking good.
Still waiting on a little bit of leftovers in a to-go bag for myself.
No leftovers because got gobbled up. But Black Friday, and we hope folks aren't getting too carried away with the sales out there.
Leftover turkey is better than fresh almost. Like the next day with like in a roll, toss that turkey in.
The dry, not cold dry turkey.
I prefer not to be dry, but I like leftovers.
It's also, okay, here's the secret. We put a little bit of lemon pepper. Little bit of lemon pepper on the turkey. We kind of went the chicken wings direction with it a little bit. And everybody likes lemon pepper, so why not throw some of that on the turkey? A little pro advice for
look out for Matt's new YouTube channel, all about smoking.
I was going to mention, though, I think folks are just, they're on their tablets, their phones, their computers, scouring the internet for deals. And obviously, we want folks to do that. We're going to talk a lot, actually a decent bit, about Black Friday. But while you're at it, head over to howtomoney.com, because instead of us tempting you into spending all of your money, we've got so much great advice. We made some tweaks to the website. We've got some articles, some guides on how it is you can earn more money, how you can save more money, invest wisely.
Yeah, we just changed the navigation bar at the top too, so it's easier to find the content you're looking for. If you're like,
it wasn't like a major overhaul.
No.
But we just want to point folks to something that's good as opposed to something that's only going to part you.
100%. And one of the brand new articles up on the site that's definitely worth checking out, it's all about travel hacking. It's like a gargantuan, almost 7,000 word piece, but it's worth checking out if you're saying, I want to travel, but I don't want to spend much money. If you're frugal in that way, that article can be massively helpful. Kind of help you come up with a game plan for how to go about that, how to get the right points, and how to use them appropriately too, so that you are able to travel free or next to nothing at least.
Yeah, and I'm going to do one other additional plug too for the Southwest Companion Pass. Did we mention this last week or a couple weeks ago? Mm-hmm. It is still the perfect time of year to apply for that card, to have it in your possession, and to start getting those charges on there towards the end of December, so you can score that ability to travel for free for the next 2 years, essentially. We'll link to that in the show notes.
Love it. All right, so if you're actually buying stuff, though, let's talk about Black Friday, man. Let's get to the Friday flight, sampling of stories we found interesting this week. And of course, yes, it is kind of the most consumer-centric holiday of the year, Black Friday. And there was a stat we saw from WalletHub, which reveals a lot. It basically found that 35% of Black Friday deals offer no savings compared to their pre-Black Friday price, right? Basically, that shirt, the toy, or the electronic device, it might have been just as inexpensive recently. Like, you're not actually... It sure looks like it, based on the marketing, based on the giant red numbers.
It's red, yeah.
And the slashes and the percentage off sort of thing attached to it. And it's not that great deals can't be had. There are a lot of great deals out there right now. And we talked with deal expert from Deal News recently on the show to discuss, well, where are the deals at? But just because it says 50% off or whatever, right? It doesn't mean that it's a deal and that you should pounce on it and you should buy it immediately, because you're never going to find that low of a price again. We would say use a plugin like Honey or Camel to help you figure out what deals are actually deals, and to look at the actual price history instead of just the giant red numbers and percentage off. Like, that's more revelatory than whatever the retailer is trying to spin typically.
Absolutely. Yeah, in that same survey, I saw that I think it was close to 13% of items are actually going to be more expensive during Black Friday, which is crazy to think that we can fall into this trap of, like, you get caught in the mad rush of spending, and you see, again, it's the marketing. You see the slashes, you see minus however much percent. And in fact, oh, maybe they're lying and the item actually costs you more. That was very eye-opening.
I saw that. In terms of clothes, I'm thinking, oh, J. Crew, it's like 50% off everything on the site. And then it's like, well, but if you just wait a few more weeks until they've got their, like...
Maybe it'll be 70%
end of season sales. Yeah, no, for real. You're going to save a whole lot more, probably.
Oh, okay. So it's also important to note that returns are going to cost you more money these days. We've documented the rise of fees to take back the stuff that you decided that you don't want. But about 40% of retailers are charging for returns this year. That is a significant increase from last year. We'll link to a story that kind of lists out a lot of the fees of some popular retailers. But TJ Maxx, for instance, they're going to lop off $12 when you send an item back for, that's like shipping and fees.
Double what a lot of other retailers
are. But they're not the only ones, but that is a significant cost. So just know the return policy and think twice before you click buy. I think a strategy that is worth employing, something that we've done before, it's worth shopping online, because who has time to actually go in store in the next 48 hours and actually make a purchase? We do a whole lot of shopping online, for sure. But just make sure that when you do make some returns, that you are doing those in person. You can kind of...
That's typically how you avoid those fees.
Yes, shop online, return in person. I recently made a return run back, because we kind of amassed a pile, and certainly keep an eye on the dates, because you don't want to get outside of that return window. But went down to a mall that was not super convenient, but fact is, I went to the mall because that's where all the stores were. And literally, the ability just to walk from one store to the next, and...
Yeah.
I felt so good, because every return I was making, it's like, boom, $5 saved, boom, $8 saved, as opposed to just forking out the money and mailing it back.
No, it's important to note, as more and more retailers are charging for those fees for those returns, try to avoid them. And maybe it'll help us all. It should. Think twice before we click to buy in the first place. If you're like, I want to be able to, I'm not sure about this item. Well, maybe if you're worried about losing money by having to return it, you might just say, screw it, I'm not even going to buy it.
Yep.
And it might be better to opt for a trip. Those can't be returned, obviously. But friend of the show, Elaine Glusak, she's a frugal traveler over at the New York Times. She had a great article this week detailing many of the travel deals that are currently available. They're happening right now, but we also might see improved and better travel deals next week, on like Tuesday of next week.
Travel Tuesday.
That's right. And so we'll link to that article in the show notes. If you have a New York Times subscription, you can check it out. I think there are even like kind of paywall sites. What is it? 12-foot ladder is one. So you might be able to read it on there without actually subscribing to the New York Times. But when it comes to travel, we're always in favor of letting the deal drive the destination. And so if there are killer deals that you're interested in that Elaine has mentioned in this article, and she lists out a bunch of the individual ones, that could be a great gift for a loved one. The gift of an experience, of a trip.
Yeah.
To Alaska or something like that. Take me along too, because I've always wanted to go.
A little less buyer's remorse involved with travel as well, because the ability to create those experiences, spend time together with loved ones.
Especially when you get that lodging or excursion for 40% off.
Massive discount. Okay, since we're talking about consumption, it turns out you can buy anything on the internet these days. Okay, so Carvana, CarMax, they've made it easier to find the used car that you've wanted with a fairly painless process. Amazon, they are now getting into the new car selling game. This is pretty fascinating on multiple levels.
Yeah, they're partnering with Hyundai, right, to launch this.
Hyundai specifically, that's right. So first of all, it makes sense. Like, you think about buying a new car, the old school model, buying a car in person, it doesn't work as well for younger generations who want a different experience. Tesla, they've led the charge, right? They're circumventing the traditional dealership model where you're buying directly from them. Ford, they want to pivot in that direction as well for EV sales, but again, they're having a hard time given how tied they are to the dealership model.
Yeah, there's like a dealership revolt. They're not happy with the parent company.
Exactly. So that's one aspect of it. But secondly, buying a Hyundai when they're available for purchase next year via Amazon, that is unlikely going to be your best bet to get the best deal possible. I think it can be helpful during your research, but I think you'll be able to likely save more money by taking other tactics as opposed to just like clicking buy. It's right. Like the easy button. And honestly, it just seems like a gimmick. I don't understand how it is that folks, like, this is, other than your home, this is the most expensive purchase that you are ever going to make.
And they're looping you in with a dealer. So it's not like
you're still purchasing,
it's not like prime delivery, like showing up in your
exactly.
driveway.
So. And who is not going to want to go in person?
Well, so, I think that, like,
because you want to touch it, you want to sit in it, literally take it for a test drive. These are so important when it comes to the ability to know whether or not this is a car that's going to work for you.
I think
or
people
not.
Care about that a whole lot less because you mentioned Carvana and CarMax, and people are now getting accustomed to buying the car.
Yeah, but that's.
And as long as there's a return window, 7 or 30 days, like they offer, it's like. Okay, cool.
There are return windows for new cars, though, like on used. I think that's how Carvana and CarMax were able to get around that. That's what put me at ease when we bought our van from Carvana. Was that like 5-6 years ago now? Mm-hmm. Knowing, okay, it doesn't really matter. I can just take it back.
If I don't like it.
But that's typically not the case when it comes to new cars. And that's the part that I'm kind of confused about. That's why I'm thinking, is this more of a gimmick than actually a way for them to
sell
a bunch of cars?
And let's be honest, since Amazon's pushing you to a dealership anyway, it makes more sense to go the Costco car buying route or something like that. If you know kind of the make and model that you want, you should totally go try to do it through Costco's car buying program instead, because you're likely to get a better price because of the negotiating ability that Costco has with dealerships in your area. That's likely going to get you a better price, a better experience. And there are ways that you could save even more kind of by doing guerrilla warfare tactics via email with different dealerships in your area for the car you want. But I think Costco is at least the best easy button. It's interesting that Amazon's going into this. Yeah. But is this really just a publicity stunt and it's not actually going to help people buy a car very? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
And we don't necessarily hate the idea of new car ownership, by the way, but we also don't love it. It's all about your own personal finance situation, how much you've saved, how long you plan to own the vehicle. We would suggest having an ownership timeline of at least 10 years. That makes a new car purchase far less egregious, right? Far less of a financial sin. And so we know that this isn't for everyone, but we're always pushing people to at least think about whether or not they can cut a car out of their lives and commute more by bike or by foot.
Yeah, forget buying a new car. Let's talk about just driving less in general.
Or get one of those Flintstone vehicles where it's a car, but you are still driving by foot, right? It can often actually be worth it to pay more for rent to live closer to where your job is, right? In order to pull this off. So there's this article from this website called Inside Hook. It cited a 2016 study, and it found that a person with a 1-hour commute to work has to earn 40% more money to be as satisfied as someone who walks to their job, which is insane. It's like, that's how happy people are when they can commute on foot or on bike. Shifting from a long commute to a short walk to work would make a single person as happy, this study found, as if he or she had found a new love. And so it's, I mean, it's amazing. Like, we
specifically for the single folks out there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to find a new love if you're already married. But it's amazing how much happiness we get from just that little commute through the outdoors, and as opposed to being in a box. I was talking to somebody the other day. He has an almost 2-hour commute each way. And I was like, I don't know how that's possible, dude. Like, I would go insane, even though I'd catch up on a lot of podcasts.
He only goes in like a couple times a week, though, right?
Yeah,
I think it's like two or three days. It's not like a daily 2-hour one-way commute, which...
But even 2 or 3 days. Nope, sorry. Yeah. I ain't doing it. And I guess I think we underestimate just how painful a car commute can be. Like, we're like, yeah, I don't love it. But from a physical and mental perspective, it can be massively draining. And so, like, changing this overnight is typically impossible, right? Unless you're able to go full work from home because you got a new gig. And that has some downsides too. But driving your car less is always a good money-saving goal. We're always pushing people in that direction. And so, you probably can't do it tomorrow, but it's something that you can start to incorporate into your life, hopefully, over time as you're trying to create the ideal lifestyle for yourself.
Yeah. It's not only good for your physical health, for your mental health. It's not only good for your wallet, but there is new data that finds that the 280 million e-bikes and scooters that are currently on the road are displacing far more demand for oil than traditional electric vehicles, but like your standard electric vehicle, yeah, like your Leaf or Tesla. And so what we're highlighting here is the fact that it's good for the environment as well. Estimates are that these smaller electric vehicles that are rapidly growing in popularity, especially,
and not electric vehicles, electric like mobility devices, right?
Mobility devices, like e-scooters, that kind of thing, electric mopeds. But they've cut the world's oil demand by 1 million barrels of oil per day, which is it's mind-blowing. And we've seen a lot of growth in this sector in other countries in particular.
So when you hop on your e-bike, you're doing good.
Absolutely.
By getting out of your car, by getting on your e-bike, every trip matters.
Yeah. And so this is just to highlight that, like, we are fans of EVs. We talk about them, how one day we might actually own some sweet electric vehicles, yeah, but they're just not as green as many folks would lead you to believe. These micro electric devices, they are the absolute greenest way to, well, I'm not going to say the absolute green. The most green way is just to actually walk. The ability, Joel, for you and I to ride, yeah, our, not even e-bikes, our traditional human muscle-powered,
yeah,
bikes.
Yeah, that's the absolute best.
That is the absolute best. It's the most efficient vehicle. But besides that, these other electric vehicles, micro electric devices, they are the best way of getting around. They're going to save you money. And so, bottom line, exercise is good for us. But if you like to exercise, if you like saving money, also, if you like helping the planet, then bikes and even e-bikes are going to be a massive boon to the success.
I was like really pleased to see that. And I, again, like you said, electric vehicles, they're great. And I think they've got a lot of positives, right? But the fewer cars we own, the less we drive anyway. Maybe not owning an electric vehicle, but just owning some of these a couple of these micro electric devices to get around as a family, maybe that's a far better play, depending on where you live and where you need to go and stuff like that. But that's a good goal to have too. It's like just fewer cars in general, even if that means not getting an EV and getting around on your electric scooter or bike.
Exactly.
And it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And it just doesn't sell because it's not sexy, right? Yeah. It's not the new EV that whatever company has just released, and so, right, that's why it's sort of like, again, man, I'm not going to harp on this, it's sort of like eating your leftovers, it's sort of like buying used stuff from the thrift store. There's no shine.
It doesn't come in the packaging
at all. It doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't have that new package smell or the new car smell. But it is the absolute best thing for you to do when it comes to your money. But we've got more stories to get to during this Friday flight. We're going to talk about gambling. We're going to talk about some changes that hopefully won't necessarily be coming to your 401k. Those are two different stories, by the way. But we'll get to all that right after this.
Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics, and in other words, everything your body craves to feel your best. This is where Cachava really earns their 52,000-plus five-star reviews. It tastes amazing. It's creamy and smooth with just water, and it comes in 5 delicious flavors. You can choose from chocolate, vanilla, chai, matcha, and coconut acai. Cachava is offering How to Money listeners 10% off for a limited time. I've been using Cachava in breakfast smoothies in the morning recently. It's just so nice to pack in a bunch of nutrients early in the AM in a way that's satisfying and energizing. So if you want to optimize your breakfast, your workout shake, be sure to check out Cachava. Just go to Cachava.com/howtomoney. That's spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's KACHAVA.com/howtomoney.
When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. That's why you listen to this podcast. And if you're looking to upgrade your wallet, you need to turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. If you're paying for vacations with whatever card is in your wallet, you could be missing out on miles you didn't even know you were leaving on the table.
You can get a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade, lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions.
Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
I'm guessing that a lot of listeners are starting to solidify their summer travel plans. We always like to get the families together, Matt, for a week at the beach. Every single summer, we've already got that trip to St. Simon's on the calendar. Pumped for that. But sometimes those vacations get expensive. So what better way to offset some of those costs than to have your home earning some money while you're away?
That's right. Why let it sit empty when it could be earning extra income? It's the financially smart thing to do. So think it through. Maybe you've got some extra space in your home, or maybe you have an entire house to host. Or maybe you're just going on vacation and your home is sitting empty. In every case, you can Airbnb it. You already have the space, so it won't be a huge adjustment.
I mean, the way I see it, if you're not using your space, you have two options. You can let it just sit there empty, or you do some optimizing and make some money off it. Really, if you think about it, you already have an Airbnb. You just need to start using it. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. All right, we're back. It's still the Friday Flight. Got a lot more to cover on this episode, on this special Black Friday edition of How to Money. And Matt, we're not going to talk about gambling inside of your 401k. That would be that'd be ill-advised. But something else that's ill-advised, and it's the ludicrous headline of the week, is just straight-up sports gambling, right? And this one comes from the publication The Conversation. And the headline reads, "Colleges face gambling addiction among students as sports betting spreads." And yeah, Matt, we've kind of smacked sports gambling around for a while. I think of it almost similarly to cryptocurrency. It has a lot of negative effects for a lot of people, maybe even worse. And so the National Council on Problem Gambling found that 3 in 4 college students have gambled in the past year, and roughly 6% of the on-campus population finds themselves with a gambling addiction problem. And I don't want to sound like a prude. That's certainly not the bent that I come at this from, or that we come at this from, I don't think. It's not that we're completely anti-gambling. I have played blackjack before, and I have found it to be entertaining. But
and you liked it.
I did. But the problem is, like, this is like something like 3x what the rest of the population is, how much of the rest of the population suffers from a gambling addiction.
That college students are more susceptible to
100%.
Gambling addiction.
Yeah, and yeah. I think it makes sense on a whole lot of ways. They're more likely to download a sports gambling app and to test their skills. And I use the term lightly because gambling doesn't really require skill. I mean, I guess maybe some kinds of poker do, but certainly not sports gambling, right? The house is always going to win. And they're hooking young people who haven't necessarily reached full brain maturation yet. It seems
yes.
like this seems
yep.
like a financial and a societal problem. And you and I, we're typically a little more libertarian on stuff like this, like mm-hmm. Because... Like,
and I still am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's not like I want the government to come in and necessarily shut down FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever, all those crummy apps. But the ease with which you can gamble on sports from the comfort of your dorm room is pretty stinking scary. And I think there's just an ethical question here, too, especially when states are making out like bandits. They're seeing dollar signs for their coffers if the amount of money they're going to be able to make from the percentage they can take from these sports gambling companies. And so I guess we don't really have any bigger policy ideas or anything like that to mention. All we can say is stay away. And in particular, if you have a college age child, it's worth talking to them about this, because it sounds like this is a problem that's getting out of hand. Again, 3 in 4 have tried it, and a lot of them are getting addicted to it. It's going to cost them a lot of money and just mental sanity too, probably.
I think that's the problem. So if you look to when sports betting became legalized, or when the Supreme Court ruled that it would be allowed in states, I guess it was up to the state depending on where you live, but that was only in 2018. And so the fact is, there's a whole, I think, generation of college students, and they haven't necessarily had the assistance or the help from parents to help them to kind of wade through these waters, because it didn't really exist while they were still at home.
Yeah.
And so you've got all these college students who didn't have parents who were speaking into their lives about this particular thing. And so I think that makes it a little more of a sticky situation in the current environment, as opposed to, you know, high school seniors today. This is going to be something that hopefully parents are talking to their
hopefully.
Kids about, right? And so as they go off, it's something.
But I was talking to an adult betting. The other day. Can I just say this? And my friend, he said, I've never played the lottery until I could buy those tickets on my phone. And I think there's something about having it at your fingertips and on your smartphone.
100%.
It's far more addictive than, like, I have to drive or fly to Vegas, right? to go gamble.
Yeah, there are more barriers for sure. Yeah. But I guess I just imagine if, for instance, sports betting had been legal for the past 30 years or something like that. High schoolers going off to college, it wouldn't be as big of a deal, because it's like, oh yeah, it's always been around. We know this. We either do this responsibly, or there might be some folks who are saying, oh yeah, that's not something we touch at all. Either way, it's something that they have learned about, I guess, as opposed to it being this completely novel thing that they're being thrown into the deep end with. That's the part that seems a little more scary. So while we're talking about college and money, we've talked a lot on the show about student loans. We've talked about the price of college. We've even discussed how, while the sticker price of college has skyrocketed, the actual real cost that many students pay, it in reality hasn't risen nearly that fast. But that's not a terribly transparent reality. And it's hard to make good decisions about where to go to school when everything is opaque, when you can't make good comparisons. Good news here. Hundreds of colleges, they have agreed to make financial aid offers more transparent last month. Basically, instead of every single financial aid offer from the different colleges looking different, hundreds of schools have gotten together and they've agreed to standardize some of the look, some of the language of the offers that they're sending out, which is, of course, going to make it easier for the prospective student to make an informed choice. And so this is good, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to revolutionize what it is that students are paying to go off to college. But we do think that this is a positive step in the right direction. And actually, we're going to talk about financial aid, all about that, and the important FAFSA with the FAFSA guru next week. There are a whole lot of changes that came to the FAFSA, some updates that were made. We're going to discuss that next Wednesday, so you can look forward to that.
And a delay in launching the FAFSA form this year, which now comes out next month. And so this is going to be like timely, pertinent information.
Oh, yeah.
And man, the FAFSA, super crucial if you're hoping to get financial aid for that college degree. Matt, let's talk about cell phones. Like, if you were to ask me, hey, have cell phone plan prices gone down or gone up in cost? My knee-jerk reaction would have been to say that they went down.
Mm-hmm.
But
kind of like the cost of TVs. It seems like a positive step, you know, as it comes to technology, the ability for us to get things cheaper.
Seems like there's been deflation in that category. But, Ben, I was wrong. I've just been swimming in the how to money waters too long, and I didn't realize that, no, au contraire, the new stats show that the average cost of a monthly cell phone bill has risen 5% year over year, which means that the average American is paying $119 a month for their cell phone. Shocking to me. Truly
That's
shocking.
Insane.
And I've seen other stats before, something like $80-something a month. So who knows which one is right. But either way, it's way too much money, right? And so that average price increase is being blamed on inflation. But we've actually seen deflation on the lower end of the cell phone plan spectrum. The max that we believe almost everyone should be paying is $30 a month, which is obviously a lot less than $119 a month. And by the way, the good folks over at Mint Mobile, they're having a Black Friday sale right now. We talked about Black Friday earlier. Well, they're doing a buy three, get 3 months free, and they're already one of the best discount carriers around anyway. So if you're paying too much, if you are one of those people paying triple digits every single month for your cell phone service.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, do something different.
Do some self-introspection.
And there are others that
question some of the choices you've made in life.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there are other great discount carriers too. It's not just Mint. There's Google Fi that we've talked about before. There's Visible. There's Boost. There are a lot of great choices for you. But the reason I would have said deflation is because I remember when Mint, not too long ago, they actually kept the price the same, but they increased the amount of data that everyone got, and they didn't charge anybody a dime for it. So if you're like, okay, cool, it's time to switch, and wait a second, there's a buy three, get three from three free promotion, I guess maybe that should be my clue. And we'll link to it in the show notes, but it's definitely something worth pursuing. If you're going to get any Black Friday deal, this might be the one.
Yeah, well, and specifically, it's the one they're highlighting, of course, but their unlimited plan, which means for $90, you get unlimited data for 6 months, which is, I mean, think about it. Again, it was like $120 on average for 1 month, or you could pay $90 and have unlimited data for 6 months. The Times, they actually even got on board this past week with what we've been saying for years. We're certainly glad to have the gray lady on board. Just maybe 5 years late,
yeah,
but better
least.
Late than never. It's like finally discount cell phone service providers have they finally become in vogue? And I don't know if that's because of Ryan Reynolds.
I mean, hopefully
he's come along.
I think his
presence has allowed folks to be like, oh, okay, yeah, maybe this isn't so bad. Him and Blake Lively are down with it.
Yeah,
so
we were saying it for years, but until Ryan Reynolds says it, no one cares.
Now everybody cares. But one thing they mentioned in that article, though, is actually a good point. You can try a discount carrier for free before you actually make the full switch. For instance, Mint, they offer a 7-day free trial. It's kind of like Carvana back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, give it a shot. There's no risk. You don't even have to cancel with the big wireless provider that you're currently with. Just try out the new plan, the new card. Google Fi, they offer 7 days for free as well. Visible, they offer 15 days for free, yeah, which is awesome. So go out there, find the right MVNO for you. The mobile virtual network operator is what that stands for, MVNO. But give it a go. And if the service is solid, it turns out most folks, they see little to no difference in the coverage that is available to them. If you like it, then go ahead and make the full switch.
And if you think we're idiots, if you think we're buffoons, you try Mint Mobile for 7 days and you're like, this is trash. This is way inferior to my Verizon service. Well, then check out Visible because that's on Verizon's network. And then if you're like, wait a second, no, this is trash too. Well, then stick with your really expensive stuff. If it means that much to you and if it's that much better, then go with it. It's just that most people don't experience a significant downgrade or really even notice a difference. Something else, Matt, that's gone up in price substantially, insurance rates. Like that's both on cars and homes. And rates have risen something like 9% through just the first three quarters of 2023. There's been some hullabaloo in the How to Money Facebook group about this very thing. And there was an article actually in a online publication called Autopian about how adjusters
are... Autopian.
Like
auto?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Utopia.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Autopia.
And so kind of like Carvana, like very similar sort of naming mechanism. But it was about how adjusters are totaling cars more often because of the increased costs of repair, and this is only contributing into like a rate increase spiral, right?
Yeah.
And this happened to me, like when my old van in the spring, when I got rear-ended, it was totaled, and it probably could have been saved, right? But it's just kind of erring on the side of caution. A lot of adjusters are saying, no, we're scrapping it. And so there's no perfect solution for what to do. But shopping around is basically the best thing you possibly can do on this one. Insurers have different algorithms for setting rates. I don't know if any of them are offering Black Friday deals or not. But we would say cheaping out and reducing coverage is typically not your best bet unless you have an old car and you're dropping full coverage and you can self-insure if you need to replace that car. But hiring a local independent agent via a site like trustedchoice.com, that can be the smart, savvy way to proceed. Because I know that this is a pain point in people's budgets, Matt, because, yeah, it's 9% for some people, but for other folks in other places, it's 30-40% increases. And that can be hard to stomach. If it can feel like a gut punch. The only way really to combat this is to not be loyal and is to shop around every time that happens and try to find a decent insurer that'll offer you a better price.
Or by completely dropping a car from your life altogether, then you don't have to insure that bad boy anymore. We actually dedicated an entire episode to that. Was that last year or maybe even 2 years ago? Maybe we'll link to that. We will link to that in the show notes during this episode.
Yeah, that's big savings on multiple fronts there.
Yes, absolutely. It just made me think, too. I received a notice from my car insurer saying that, hey, your low mileage discount renewal is up. Click here to update your mileage to make sure that you still maintain, that you still qualify for your low mileage discount. And I got a little nervous because
on the cusp?
I don't know. I went ahead and submitted it, but we've moved and we're doing a lot more driving. Kate commutes the kids up to school, and it's like a 30-mile minimum a day trip, which back in the day, dude, we weren't driving anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm a little nervous as well. I'm going to continue to see my car insurance go up even more. Might have to take some potentially drastic steps in order to get the insurance down.
I suggest blackmail for your insurance agent. That's one way to go about
it. I'll give it a shot, man. Let's talk about 401ks, because there are at least some 401k matches that are falling by the wayside. They're getting axed at some employers. Big companies like IBM and iHeart, they either have or are eliminating that perk, that 401k match for their employees this year. Lots of employers actually took that route during the worst part of COVID, when the future was largely unknown. But it's honestly surprising to see this benefit being taken away while things are overall doing pretty well. It seems like the economy's doing solid. In the case of IBM, it's going to be pretty demoralizing, though, to see that 5% match vanish in 2024. Luckily, this isn't a trend, at least not yet.
Not that we've noticed yet.
but it might be, because the article, and again, we'll link to it in the show notes, they talked about how IBM has often set the trend. Like, they have been sort of a forerunner when it comes to how a lot of larger employees are able to provide benefits.
Employers, yeah.
Employers provide benefits for their employees. But in the case of IBM, it's interesting because they are taking away the match, but they're still putting away that 5% of employee annual salary, their income, towards like a defined benefit plan. So there's a good side of this and there's a bad side of it. The good side is that what it means is that regardless of what you contribute, you will still get that 5%, which is pretty sweet, right? And what that means is that now everybody gets to participate, basically 100% participation, which is awesome. But the downside is that it's like a defined benefit plan. It's like a pension. And that money isn't invested. Like, you're just receiving a flat 6%. And so the good is that everyone gets to play. The bad is that there's a limited upside to what those dollars are doing from you. And when you're talking about trying to achieve some sort of sense of financial freedom, you need to be investing your dollars, and 6% is barely higher than what you can earn in a high-yield savings account right now. I mean, dude, even the S&P over the past week, we've seen like a 10% increase in a single week.
Yep.
We're talking 6% over the course of a year.
You need that market exposure.
You need that. You need that volatility, especially, and by volatility, I mean the ability to potentially see outsized returns, especially when you are in that wealth building phase of your life.
Yeah. All right, let's keep talking about 401ks. And by the way, if that happens, if your 401k gets axed by your employer, it's a good idea to, well, probably prioritize the Roth IRA above the 401k then, and also maybe start looking for another job. Because it could be writing on the wall saying, hey, this company is not in a healthy spot financially. So, yeah, you might be forced out the door anyway. But you can also try to find an employer who has better benefits and maybe better pay at the same time.
Yeah, don't necessarily run for the doors, but that should be a red flag. 100%. To be like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It would be like your significant other saying they don't like smoked turkey. And you know, Matt would run away from that relationship. But
there's red flags. That's all I'm going to say.
Exactly. All right, more bummer news on the retirement front, though. 401k hardship withdrawals, they're up significantly since the beginning of the year. And basically, the withdrawals are up 28% year over year. So people taking money from their retirement account that's meant to fund those decades when they're not working in the future, right? And Barron summed it up well. They said that retirement accounts are the new emergency fund, which is scary, but true. This is why
that's what's happening.
You need an actual emergency fund so that your retirement account doesn't turn into your emergency fund, cascading, causing other financial problems in your life, right? This is a horrible way to access money, and people are taking out, on average, $5,000 from their tax-advantaged account to use for current expenses. And I realize that some people, it's like they've got no other place to turn. But that is why we talk about having the e-fund set aside before you start investing. Because, Matt, you made this mistake early on with your Roth IRA. Someone
100%,
said, listen, the Roth IRA is the ticket to building wealth. And you're
as a dumb 22-year-old.
Great, I'm in. 23. But then you had to pull it out because you didn't have enough money in savings to cover an emergency that came up. And this is the way.
Not even an emergency. It was just moving costs.
Okay.
I just needed a little bit of cash.
I just needed a pack of gum.
To hold me over.
A 2-liter of Coca-Cola. There are so many downsides to taking money out of your 401k. It means those dollars are no longer growing for your future. You're also going to owe tax and penalty on the money that you take out as well. So before you tap your 401k for money, think twice, right? There are ways to borrow from your 401k to take a loan, which also isn't typically advisable. There are some circumstances where that makes sense, but a hardship withdrawal is bad news bears. To see those numbers jumping as much as they are in that space, it just makes me nervous about the financial situation of Americans. And it would be better for you not to stick the money in the first place than to pull it out like that. Stick it in a high-yield savings account instead. And then once you've got enough of a buffer, that's when you can start funneling money into your tax-advantaged retirement accounts.
Absolutely. All right, man. I think that's going to be it for this Friday Flight. The Friday flight after Thanksgiving. We hope everyone has a wonderful time with your family. Stay safe on the roads out there, which also, by the way, a great time to not only listen to podcasts. It's always just great, too, to hit the road and listen to audiobooks.
Oh,
have you been listening to anything recently?
Yeah. So right now I am listening to The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, some classics, man. Yeah. Okay. So Project Hail Mary, it's been published for a while now. But specifically, the audiobook, dude, this is so good. I have found so much enjoyment because the guy that's reading it it's phenomenal. It's literally, I think, the best audiobook I've ever listened to.
It's amazing
I don't want to oversell it or anything like that, but if you're into sci-fi and you're looking for a good book, man, Project Hail Mary.
That's a real talent.
Andy Weir, so
being
good.
Able to read books well. It's amazing.
He does all the accents as well, and not only that, but he's, I don't want to give anything away, but there's in particular, there's a very good special accent that he does as well.
Well, the actor William Hurt reads The Sun Also Rises.
Oh, nice.
He's got a great voice.
It makes all the difference.
It does.
Makes me think, should we go to vocal coaching or something like that?
Probably.
You should just talk different in your real life. We probably won't do that.
We should get better, but we're always trying to do that. And if you have a suggestion for how we can get better, we've actually got...
Let us know.
We've got a place on the website, howtomoney.com/dobetter.
You can just email us, too.
Drop us a line, say, hey, listen, guys, you could really pick up the slack on this end. You can also go to the website, check out other things. There's a lot, like we said at the beginning, there's a lot more content there.
Yes.
And you can always sign up for the How to Money newsletter at howtomoney.com/newsletter. But Matt, that's going to do it for this one. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.
Tutsi, I was then.
I was listening to it some yesterday. So much fun. Supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. All you do is start with a prompt. You describe your presentation in a few words, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides that you can then customize in seconds.
Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation with AI.
Generate slides in seconds with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Upswell Marketing would like to remind you that when customers choose your small business, they're really choosing you. So focus on super serving your existing customers and let Upswell handle the pipeline generation of new leads and customers.
Upswell specializes in developing customized direct response campaigns and is now offering a no-obligation free assessment of your current marketing strategies.
Not to mention, new customers also receive 15% off their first order when they mention that they heard about Upswell on this podcast. For more information, visit upswellmarketing.com. That's upswellmarketing.com.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.